Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. For some South Dakotans, serving their customers goes far beyond the food and traditions of their homeland. In the March issue of 605 magazine, several of South Dakota's ethnic restaurants are featured, not just the food, but the stories of the people who have brought the tastes of places like Jamaica, Afghanistan, India, Mexico, Ethiopia, and more to the Rushmore State. Alana Snyder joins us again in the Kirby Family Studio today to visit about this deliciously themed issue. She is publisher of 605 magazine. Alana, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. This is a bar and restaurant issue.
Yes.
I want to ask you first about the food photography in this thing, because it is mouthwatering. Tell us a little bit about how you're capturing, because food photography is not necessarily the easiest thing to capture.
I know. We took a lot of photos of food. It's all about the light. It's all about well, luckily, it's all about the food and the people behind it. So all of the food that we got to capture was really, really, really well done. Even Independent Ale House in Rapid City, that pizza, it's just so, like, colorful and beautiful. And, you better be hungry when you look at this issue.
I think
issue.
I've eaten that exact pizza in that exact booth in Independent Ale
House. I love
House
that place.
Rapid City. Yeah.
It's so good.
Right. So, is this just an eating tour of the state that you get to go on? Tell us a little bit about gathering the stories for this kind of issue.
There's a lot of different types of restaurants, which I thought was really cool, like Fork Well in Rapid City. That's a full-on cafe now that is put together by a couple, and it's a nonprofit. And they have, I think I could get this wrong, but it's about 18 volunteers a day that help run this cafe. And what they want is for people who maybe can't afford going out to eat, they can actually have that restaurant experience, and it's pay for what you can afford. And then they have like a whole section for toiletries and things that people donate. And there's a beautiful mural done by a local artist, and it's a really nice experience for people. So I thought that was really, really unique. Yeah. And then, we have the ethnic eats. So we have four places that either you already know about and are addicted to them throughout the state, or you should know about them.
All right, let's talk about, let's unpack that a little bit, because there are these places that do such a wide variety of food. Mm-hmm. Is that really embraced? What did they tell you about sort of bringing people in to try something that they didn't even know existed?
What I thought was really neat was each location, the owner and the staff behind it will come out. And same thing, too, with we reviewed a Jamaican restaurant. They will sit down with you and explain to you kind of how to eat it, what's traditional, what's their favorites. And I thought that was really neat. Like, we ate at the, I believe it's pronounced Khorasan Kebab House, and I got to actually eat on traditional rugs. And so they kind of walk you through the experience, and they kept adding to our order, because we're like, oh, you have to have the kebabs, and you have to have the salad, and we have special drinks, and it's just a really unique experience all around. So
there's an education factor, a welcoming, and a cultural factor, as well as the food itself.
Right. And just them putting they're part of the experience, which was really neat.
Yeah, so. It seems like one of the themes was, you know, don't be intimidated. Start with something easy, and then pretty soon people will be coming in and saying, what do you have? I do this at Sanaa's. What's good today?
Oh, yeah.
And Sanaa will give you something that, you didn't know you wanted.
Oh, yeah. And Bon Thai is in Box Elder, and that is, it was packed. And it's right by the base, so it's not only just base people, but it's, like, full of, like, when people know about it, it's hard to get in. Because people want Thai food. There's not much Thai food in South Dakota.
All right. So tell us the story of Bon Thai, because if there's tell me about the people behind the restaurant sort of finding out that there really was a market that was wide open for them to open a shop into.
Yeah. So the owner, who's in his 20s, he actually opened it with some friends because they missed their food back home in Thailand. And they all came together, and eventually his family bought out his friends. And so it's a family business. Now they have a full, huge menu of Thai food that you can have, including beer from Thailand that they love. And it's really, really neat.
All right.
And delicious. I ate some.
All right. So let's go back to the kebabs, because tell me a little bit about where this proprietor came from, and tell me the story of the Khorasan Kebab House, if I'm saying that right, which I don't know that I am.
I know. Yeah, that's the hard part about this. Yeah, so they actually started as a restaurant it was called the Global Village Cafe, and then they moved recently to Garfield off of 12th Street in Sioux Falls. And that's like food from Afghanistan, and it's kebabs and things that you can't really try or find anywhere else. They have the baklava, which I had a bunch of that. Mm-hmm. That was delicious. But of course, you have to have the kebabs. And I suggest you can eat at a normal table, but having that experience of eating on, you take your shoes off and you eat on that rug and sit down with them, that's really cool. And unfortunately, you can only do it for till March 10th because they are closing because of their location, it sounds like, but want to reopen at a later date.
All right. So, and they get into, this is a person who is... I'm sorry, is it a male owner or female?
Yep, male owner, yep.
So he escaped from the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. He's got quite a story of how he got here and, you know, sort of becoming a business owner in the first place. Did you find that that was fairly common, that people had these really fascinating stories of immigration and food and sort of...
His was more intense than others. I just feel like everyone has their own background and story. And Lalibela's too. Like they all came here just to kind of start a new life and really not only start a new life, but kind of bring their life for people to experience that might not normally get to. So yeah, it just depends. I mean, they're all people just trying to make a living, and they're all like, they all have a great story to tell, and they will sit down with you and tell it. So
yeah, and he started out from just making kebabs, and you know, there's other, a lot of these people get into opening their own business from taking their food to a fair event or to, you know, some sort of pop-up shop that ends up becoming a food truck or a restaurant.
Yeah, Sabre on Mexico and Rapid City, they started off doing, I think, like two food items, doing them really well, and they sold them from, I think, their trunk, like in parking lots, and then people were demanding more and more of them, and then eventually they opened up their location, which is super small, but it's always packed because they do what they do and they do it well.
All right. So we talked about Corazon's Kebab House and a little bit about Bon Thai. What are some of the dishes that they're known for at Bon Thai?
They have the old pad thai, which is delicious. I ate a bunch of that with the shrimp. I had the tom yum soup. That was really good. It's a vegetable soup. They have a lot of dumplings. They have a huge, I think they had over 60 items on their menu. Yeah. It was crazy.
All right. Tell me about Lalibela.
Lalibela, they have...
It's Ethiopian food.
Yeah, it's Ethiopian food. You know, it's a lot of things that I don't even know if I could pronounce right. Like with the sambusas, it's like...
Which makes a lot ordering of pastries. Hard.
I know.
Right, yeah. This is, yeah.
And that's why it's good that they can help you, because a lot of the times you're like, I don't know what I can choose, which kind of goes to that A&D Jamaican, which is a separate article, but it's the food review that we did, the restaurant review. And you walk in and it's like, it's this family from Jamaica and they're amazing. And they literally have like the most simplified menu. It says like beef, chicken,
sure,
whatever. But then when they give it to you, it's this full plate of all the stuff that, like, they call them, I think they call them, like, rolums or something like that. Spinners. They call them spinners because it's, like, dumplings that they traditionally serve with each meal. And they have oxtail and all this different stuff. But they, like, helped me walk through the whole process because I had no idea where to start. So that's definitely what to expect. So don't feel the pressure of having to know what you're going to order when you walk in.
Yeah. All right, Lalibela, and this is a person, tell me a little bit about how long they have been in America and a little bit of their backstory.
Yeah, so they've been here since the early 2000s. I think this is their second location, but just a really positive, awesome guy that they just opened their new location off Kiwanis Avenue. And there are a couple ethnic restaurants, but he just wanted to kind of give his own spin. So, and his wife also helps him cook. So it's really, really close. Again, tight-knit family business.
Yeah. And then Sabora, Mexico. This is in Rapid City?
Yes. Mm. And this is a mother-daughter duo.
Yeah. I haven't been there.
Yes. Oh, you have to. I tried. Actually, they had beef tongue burrito, and it was one of the best burritos I've ever had. And I never thought I would try that. But I think there's only five booths there, but they really specialize in enchiladas. They're really known for their tamales, and it's delicious.
There are so many different stories. You and I are kind of talking from, you know, and I'm kind of the person who goes in until I really know a place where I'll say, And I've been going to Sanaa's, you know, 8th Street restaurant here in Sioux Falls for years and years and years. I still go in and ask Sanaa what I should eat that day. Not because I can't find my way around the menu, just because she usually knows.
Right.
You know, what's good today. But what are you seeing from the people who are visiting these places, the people who are maybe more foodies than you and I are, and the fact that they're really into finding something authentic? They know what they're looking for, and they know when they found the real thing.
Right. Yeah, no, people, that's the crazy part. And what was really fun about the bar restaurant issue is all of these restaurants are creating these unique food experiences. Like we actually went to, have you ever been to Drifters in Fort Pierre? It is an amazing restaurant that actually has a lot of really good seafood. What they do is they, for foodies and things like that, and just for in general, they're working closely now with farms and getting beef directly from those farms. And also, they actually also had beef tongue tacos. But you can literally get a sheet of what, like, where your food came from. And I think that's been really important and really cool. And so, yeah, I think these foodies are just going around trying to find the best and unique experience that they can get. And they always have, like, their go-to. Like, the reason I found out about A&D Jamaican was because of my foodie friend, Aaron. And Sabre, Mexico, I found out from one of my friends because she has these, like, three dishes that she eats at certain places, and those are her, to like, go-to places, so.
But talk more about this sort of farm-to-table, because this is a whole bar and restaurant issue.
Right.
And that is becoming something that people are really, and in South Dakota, I mean, we're really poised for, with the possible exception of seafood.
Right, right, right.
You know, we're really poised to some, you know, to being connected to the producers and the farmers in a way. Do you see chefs are really, maybe not necessarily in the ethnic restaurant industry, but in other locally owned restaurants that people are really trying to find you know, a connection between the farmer and, and the customer who sits in and is looking for that.
Yeah, because when I talked to the owner of Drifters, she was saying she knows what the cattle's, like, what they're eating. Like, they know sometimes their names. You know, it's crazy how close you can get. And actually, the town of Spearfish is really well-known or becoming well-known for the farm-to-table type, like Redwater Kitchen and places like that, where you know exactly where, like, what's where it came from on the menu, and that's been really neat to see. So
Spearfish has, I've only been to two restaurants in Spearfish, and both of them were out of sight.
Yeah.
So Roma's, and now I can't remember the name of the other one, but they're both just remarkable.
Like, people, foodies should know about Spearfish. It's crazy. Like, Dough Traders is one of the best pizza places I've ever been to. Leon's Creamery, one of the top ice cream places. And they're so, like, they have, like, vegan ice cream, gluten-free, all this crazy stuff. Like, Spearfish is bringing their A-game, and I feel like people need to know about it.
Spearfish always brings their A-game.
They really do.
We're talking about the latest issue of 605 Magazine. The March issue is on the stands now. It's a free publication, and Alana Snyder is the publisher. She's with me here in the Kirby Family Studio right now. It's the bar and restaurant issue. What else is not just food in here? There's some of the other things that people sort of count on for 605 Magazine. Walk me through some of the other stories, and we've got a good 5 minutes to sort of really explore what else is in this issue other than
food. One thing. Well, it's a drink.
About,
It's a drink, but we have the March 605 Brewers. That's a brand new section, and that has 10 month like beers of the month from all over the state. So anything from a Homestead Brew, Ben's Brewing in Yankton, Minor Brewing Company. You can find out what kind of is on tap this month.
What's on tap? Tell us a little example of somebody who's got something kind of interesting this month.
Well, Fernson always has a seed series, and that's a special beer of the month, and that goes really fast. So definitely try that. Let's see here. We have, I like the name of this one. Lost Cabin in Rapid City has So Dank IPA. See what they did there. And Watertown Brewing Company has the Centennial Harvest, which is an amber ale. And actually, we also have Buffalo Ridge Brewing, which is a newer one, you know, from Hartford. And then Sawyer Brewing is new in Spearfish with the Smoldering Scotch. That was a very, very dark, dark beer. The best part, too, is that we had to shoot them, so then we had to get the beers to shoot them, and then the staff got to enjoy them, which was very nice.
Your favorite issue of the year, maybe? When
You know, whenever time we anytime we can feature beers and then drink them, it's always great. Actually, the foodie I talked about, Erin, I believe her last, how you pronounce it, is Zeisky. She is my foodie friend that has this really cool e-newsletter called Honor Content. And she actually has a recipe book that she's had before. She's from Rapid City. So after we did the A&D Jamaican article, we went to her house and she let me do her house feature on her, nice. Which is very bright and colorful. And of course, her kitchen's awesome because she cooks all the time. And right.
And this is one of the things, the great things about house stories from people in South Dakota is you feel that connection and it's always a surprise. So there's a page here where she has her books just stacked directly up. Right. You know, without being on a shelf, and then she has a plant on top of it. And I'm like, well, of course I could do that too. So you find these. I also love how you don't know how to pronounce their names, but you know how to spell them, which is a print journalist thing. And when I shifted from print right. journalism to radio, I had to learn real fast that you always have to.
I know, you have to actually say it out loud eventually. Yeah, it was great. She has a really quirky personality too. That's why I loved about doing her house. And I am friends with her too, which so I was like, I'm coming back and featuring your home because she has all these artist friends. So she has all this local art and then vintage chair, like the chair that she has there is like one that she found outside of someone's house they're trying to get rid of because someone died, but it's awesome. And then
Listeners right now are craving the real pages of a real magazine. If they can't, they can find it throughout the state. Where do they find it online for the digital issue if they want to look up some of these things right now? Where do they go?
605magazine.com. You can read it online and on the website, and then you can download our free app and just read it from your phone. We have the 605 Show podcast, a lot of different ways to reach us, and obviously social media. We'll be teasing all the stories from this issue.
All right, and we'll see you next month. Alana, hey. We appreciate stopping by here. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.